show. Commissioner Lindsay is here, and I think Commissioner Doherty's also on, so I think we are ready to go forward. Wherever you want to start.
8/12/21 emergency meeting.
Did you want to open it, Chair Russell?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and call this emergency meeting to order. And I'm going to turn it over to Commissioner Lindsay since she's in the room. So, Commissioner Lindsay, if you want to take over from here, it would be much appreciated.
All right, thank you, Chair Russell. So we'll officially call the order and start with asking for any city or citizen comments as we usually do.
Yeah, probably should do the initial.
I'm going to back that up and let's start out with a roll call. In the room, I have Commissioner Lindsay, who is holding the gavel due to Commissioner and Chair Russell being on the Zoom. And we also have Commissioner Doherty on the Zoom call. In the room, continuing, we have counsel today, Justin Nelson, our Administrative Secretary, Roberta Lucher, our Emergency Manager, Paul Gray, and Sheriff Ken Matlack. It looks like online, would you run through that, Justin?
Sure, we have the counties here, Chair Russell, Aaron Moss, Ann Jones, Commissioner Jim Doherty's also via video, Dan Irving, Derek Gunderson, Julia Finch, the advocate, Joanna Lamb, Andrew Chamber. I've also logged in, but that's through a share screen. Karen Pettigrew, City of Boardman, Kate Knott, Finance, what's that?
Candy Boyd.
Yeah, Candy Boyd. Greenup, Kirsty Kayson, Linda Scribner, Scanzel. Mike Gorman, the Health Department as a whole, I guess almost your computer, individual, Ron Fox, Sandra Pointer, David Patton, Steve Wilson, and possibly Ian Murray, and Patricia. Okay. So quite a few. I'm sure I butchered some names. Probably got a few wrong. I'm not going to do as well as others when they say every department where they're in. That's Chair Russell and Chair and Commissioner Lindsay are better at that part.
So the next item on the agenda is any city or citizen comment. We have quite a few on, so if you want to unmute or raise your hand. Seeing none, I'll go to the open agenda. Commissioners, is there anything in addition to the order that you wish to add to the agenda?
I have nothing at this time, Commissioner. I have nothing.
Thank you. So we'll move right into the item that the meeting was called, and that's order number OR2021, an order declaring a local state of emergency surrounding COVID-19. Commissioner Russell, did you have someone in the lead for this, or should I let Justin or Paul take the lead?
I would let our emergency manager take the lead on this. He's the one that kind of got the ball rolling through email chains. So Paul wants to, that would be my suggestion, Commissioner.
Excellent. Paul, if you'll kind of start on the conversation.
So yesterday, Commissioner Lindsay came to me and let me know that she had heard a few, I guess, rumors about Idaho and Washington closing off from transferring of patients to those big cities right across the borders into their states. So I called a contact at Oregon Emergency Management, Kelly Jo Craig Miles. She's the Emergency Coordination Center coordinator. She pretty much knows everything, and she had not actually heard any of these rumors at first. So she told me to do a request for information through my regional coordinator, which is Tim Seymour, and Chris Sutton, who's the Cascades regional coordinator, to see if they had heard anything. They contacted Dean Markham and Katarina Stiles. Those are OHA coordinators, regional coordinators. And this morning, Katarina called me and let me know that it is actually pretty bad. the state lines, no one is going across right now, at least across the borders into the bigger cities right across the borders, such as Boise, the Tri-Cities area, even up into the Portland area, across into Washington. Basically, no patients are being transferred. So she was letting me know that right now it's taking 10 to 30 calls at each hospital if they need to transfer a patient. So far, they have been having to send patients all the way to Reno and San Francisco Bay Area whenever it's a trauma, because there is just no beds to be had at the hospitals locally. Now, Dean Markham did clarify with me this morning that when he called me this morning, we do have some open beds locally at this moment, but they could be filled up in a matter of a couple hours, depending on what happens throughout the day. Katarina then told me that Oregon Health Authority is getting an incident management team put together for hospital capacity to help reduce hospital stress, basically sending patients with lesser injuries or recovering to other hospitals that won't take COVID patients or anything like that, such as Blue Mountain Hospital down in Grant County. They're also looking at doing a federal field hospital, such as like you would see at a MASH 4077 type thing, somewhere within the state. And all the CERVOR, which is our volunteer volunteer professionals, such as doctors, nurses, therapists, stuff like that, they are bombarded with requests for volunteers right now, and they just don't have any. We've already put in a request through the state, our health department did, for the contact tracers. I went ahead and did it legitimately through Op Center, which is how I do it, and it came back that though they would like to send some people here, we just don't have, statewide there's not enough contact tracers. So everything right now, what Katarina told me was our system is in dire straits. Just a little bit more and everything's just pretty much going to collapse with our hospitals. I did get a call, and it was, Dean Markham, when he called me back, he was letting me know that there was a patient yesterday from Yakima who was flown to Wyoming because they didn't have any beds locally within Washington. So that kind of shows you we're moving patients around, not just within Oregon, but out of state and way out of state, just to even keep these people alive. So that's when I sent out the email chain this morning about everything that was discussed with me. Like I said, Dean Markham says currently at that time this morning, we do have a couple beds open in the region, but he says it is going to get worse. Every day it's just going to keep getting worse and worse while this Delta strain is around. So that's why I was asking for the declaration, emergency, state of emergency declaration.
Any questions from the commissioners for Paul?
I don't have any at this time, Commissioner.
Commissioner Doherty?
Yeah, I just had a quick question. He indicated that I had his email, I was trying to pull it up, that things were dire in the hospitals, even more dire than maybe being reported, and more dire than maybe was on the grapevine. I wondered if there was a little more empirical data or something a little more substantive than that he might relate to us.
Well, that's the only thing I have, is that our patients are being flown out of state. I did not get any more data than that from Oregon Health Authority. This is pretty much all they would tell me over the phone.
So, given that, and in light of where we're at in the county, sorry, I'm doubling up here. Bear with me 1 second. Bear with me. dark internet is not working on my computer, so I have to go to my phone for a minute. Given that, Paul, I would assume if you know things are that dire and there's an emergency in the county, right? That we probably want to. I would assume you're going to.
Commissioner Doherty, I think we also lost you. There was an internet delay of some sort. And you're still frozen.
Commissioner Doherty's frozen. I would just, I was going to read while you're getting that fixed. Yesterday I shared to Public Health and to Paul that I was told that OEM had received notice from Boise, which I know some of our hospitals send critical patients to, that they had notified OEM that they weren't going to be taking out-of-state patients, and I know, Paul, you confirmed that.
Well, it wasn't through OEM. It was actually Oregon Health Authority who had that knowledge.
Okay. And Naz followed up with an email that he had reached out to Good Shepherd and was given the insight from their assistant manager that their ICU beds were full, with filling up with COVID patients, and that additional COVID patients were being housed in the ER due to capacity, that Good Shepherd was trying to convert 4 surge beds into ICU beds, which I believe you confirmed that,
yes.
Paul?
Yes.
St. Anthony's had the article in the paper recently that they were concerned about capacity. So that was background to my reaching out to Paul, that he please look into capacity in the area. So looks like you're back, Commissioner Doherty, if you want to go ahead.
I think he froze again.
Oh, sure. Good thing Aaron's on here working on the...
I thought I had it done by now.
Broadband capacity.
Maybe he needs to go to Commissioner Chair yeah. Russell's house.
Yeah.
Chair Russell, did you have anything to add on any research that you had or conversation with Paul?
Not really. I think Paul's covered it fairly well. The big problem, as I see it, is there's absolutely no room at hospitals for any need that somebody might have. Even without COVID, life goes on, and people have appendicitis and other illnesses. There's still heart disease, there's still cancer, there's still accidents, and it's pretty concerning when hospitals can't admit more patients.
Did you have any thoughts behind the possibilities of the reinstatement of the declaration, or any other thoughts that you were?
Yeah, so it looks like we're a little confused over the 90-day time frame on it. Maybe we should pick a date certain of a calendar. I can't believe it or not. That's out there about 90 days. Let's see, today is June 11th, 12th? What is today?
August 12th.
August 12th.
It's August 12th. It looks like somebody inserted November 10th as a date certain, Justin.
I think that's what Richard put down. He did an edit. There was a comment mentioned about, you know, hard to calculate out, as we mentioned. Hey, if you have a set date, it's easier to try to calculate and be off one day or so.
Yeah.
So Richard did just send out this updated one that I'm doing a share screen on right now, this part that has it for 90 days or 2, that certain date time.
Did you have any other input as to the declaration, Justin?
No, I mean, I'll say this is something from the county council perspective,
yeah.
Just for a public meeting, you always are hesitant on emergency meetings, right?
Yeah.
That's always one aspect you try to do.
Yeah.
Instead, you want to get noticed as much as possible. In this particular case, when emergency management reached out, sent an email, that was the concern about the hospital capacity. I understand the COVID response and the issues there, but the hospital capacity issues started bringing more of a concern. And when the emergency manager indicates, gosh, this is a bigger deal than maybe people are even aware of, that seemed to kind of push forward quicker the emergency declaration. Just to be clear, also, Umatilla County passed their new emergency declaration just yesterday, I believe, and the county was looking, maybe considering ours for next week. I think we were drafting as a conversation piece for next week, but of course, during the times on a big upswing of COVID cases, it appears to be more urgent than even waiting a few days. Urgency aspect also, if you look at the certain numbers for the county, I think public health even related to this, you'll see that I think we're already at about 59 or something, closer, something like that, for close 49 for this week, and that does include Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So when we were looking at the past 3 or 4 weeks, the trajectory is fairly high, substantially high that way. So I think those factors together kind of came into thinking, one, that the hospital levels make sense. Sometimes you can say, hey, we don't have enough space, but they never seem like they're low. But in this case, when we first looked at it, it does seem to correspond with an increase both in the Umatilla and Morrill counties and the other regional areas. It also appears to be, at least when we look at the numbers, a statewide, multiple statewide issues. And so you don't have the ability, like we did, I think even before other times, on the emergency management team to say, well, this part of the state's not doing as well, but this other side's doing better, so you might see people being transferred to Portland. You might see people transferred to Tri-States and Catalan. We have a uniform uptick all around. That starts seeming that's where we're seeing, like we're seeing these issues with the hospital bed concerns. So that's, when it came up, that made sense for this meeting to discuss it today. And we're not like jumping ahead of anybody else, since we've already done that. And they're seeing the same information we are with their hospitals, which a lot of Morrill County residents directly go to first.
Right.
So.
Right. Commissioner Doherty, did you get back online here?
Oh, you're muted.
I'm mute.
There you go.
You got me now?
Gotcha. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry about that. I actually had to get in my pickup and drive out to drive down the road. This is just discouraging. At any rate, I'm assuming the fall is going to... I need more data, though. You can't say, what... Things are worse than they're being reported, and things are in dire straits. They're worse than even is on the grapevine. And I say, well, how bad is it? It's bad with a capital B-A-D. Well, I need something empirical. That's not what I need, because when somebody asks me, why are you doing this? And I say, well, they said it's bad. How bad? I don't know. Capital letters bad. I'm assuming, too, that if we're going down this road, that certainly if we don't have any beds available and we are going to declare an emergency, maybe before the fact, just a little bit, also be shutting down the fair, be fairly inconsistent or a bit hypocritical to move forward with this and not move forward with that. Or maybe we wait and we declare it a week from this coming Monday. I really am struggling with the notion that we are in dire straits, and yet we're not in that dire straits. So I'm assuming Paul is going to ask us to not move forward with the fair and rodeo if we move forward with this emergency declaration.
That I'm not asking today, only because with the governor's request for mask wearing indoors, which I know the fair and rodeo is going to be outdoors, she did state that outdoors is a little bit different. I am worried about we're going to maybe spread the Delta variant around even in the outdoors, but I've got to go with the facts of what the governor was also coming out with, what she did, what was it, yesterday or the day before. So my biggest concern is going to be indoors, and we still have a lot of people going indoors even today because the new mask effect doesn't even go until tomorrow. And every day we're getting more and more numbers of people turning up positive. And that's my biggest worry, is we're going to keep getting more and more people sick, and the hospitals are already overflowing. Now, if it gets to where the numbers jump up even more, then yes, I may end up asking by Monday to not do the fair.
Yeah, I'm certainly sympathetic. One challenge, of course, a little bit is You know, the folks that have got a vaccine, you know, I certainly support the notion whether you get one or not, but the folks that, you know, we're tasked with looking after the welfare of those that have the vaccine and those that don't have the vaccine and those that are never going to get the vaccine, right? But it isn't those that have the vaccine that are, you know, posing the challenge, and at the same time, it's those that don't have the vaccine are certainly not asking us to, you know, step in on their behalf. So it's a bit of a conundrum that way. It doesn't absolve us of the responsibility of looking out for everybody. I get that. I struggle a little bit with you know, if we're going to curtail this and we're going to try and do it at the local level, then we've got to just go all out and get Naz on the board and my other commissioners on board, and, you know, go to 25 people or less, or I'm not going to sign off on it. And without that support, I'm not going to sign off on it today.
Vicki Terrell just put in the chat, the Oregon Health Authority ESF8 has activated an incident management team to support hospitals and other care facilities in managing hospital constraints. OHA is working closely with hospitals, local, state, and national partners. The incident manager is Akiko Sato, supported by state staff. Akiko does a great job, P.S. She came out during our vaccination efforts, and that's great news. Thank you for sharing that, Vicki. Any other thoughts or questions to the question of the declaration?
Can I jump on here real fast and make a comment about fair and rodeo?
Yeah, go ahead, Ann.
I heard Paul mention, you know, Monday, that, it, you know, it could possibly be something that he would look at on Monday. I do want you to be aware that fair actually, in a sense, will be starting on Sunday.
Yep.
Sunday's going to be one of our big days that we have all of our open class people bringing in their entries. 4-H starts bringing in their entries. So, you know, from my aspect of it, you know, it's hard to hear that, you know, well, we could wait a few days and see what happens Monday. Like I said, I just want you guys to be aware that, you know, fair doesn't actually start Monday. It's starting Sunday. Little things start happening Saturday out here, you know, with different people, you know, coming out and getting different things set up. So, yeah. So that's where I'm at with that. I just wanted to make sure everybody was aware with what our timeline actually is.
And how do you feel about your ability to have masks happen in indoor spaces per the governor's order?
Per the governor's order, I don't have the manpower to sit at doorways and instruct people, hey, you have to put your mask on.
Sure.
You know, for us, the best that we can do is the education piece. We have signs posted. We have hand sanitizing stations all around the grounds. We have, you know, hand washing stations and, you know, going around and cleaning it. As far as telling people and making sure they have masks on, you guys know how that goes. I mean,
there's no way to enforce it. All we can do is make sure, like Ann just said, we can educate, we can put masks out. If people grab them, they use them, that's great. From personal experience, a couple weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago now, I was at a wedding in Ohio. About 3/4 of the people, over 100 people, came down sick with the Delta variant. And it went through everybody. Now, I came back negative twice and was able to come back to work only because I had the coronavirus a couple months back. Two of my sons had coronavirus 9 to 10 months ago. They still got a little bit sick. Even one of them, who was a major in the Army, who had been vaccinated, he still ended up getting sick. So the vaccination isn't 100% going to protect everybody.
And that's one thing I do have. I've got a box. You know, Daryl brought me a box of masks. I'm going to have them sitting out here in front of my office. You know, we can even have some out at the main entry gate for people to be able to pick up. Like I said, that's about the best that we're going to be able to do out here is just that, you know, education piece, have it available, and that's what we got.
Justin, this order really, what does this do and what does it not do?
I was actually talking to Richard about these. I think sometimes emergency declarations can allow more flexibility if anything delegates certain authority to certain groups. So our emergency declaration, we're going to let this group almost work autonomously. At certain times, I think when we've done it, the EOC, our command teams, or everyone says, hey, you guys can make certain quick changes and then notify almost the board afterwards,
right,
type of thing. And if they want to overturn something, so be it. That's how I see it. Besides, other words, I haven't seen a huge difference. Like in my mind, when I think about what we use it for, it's almost a more of a vocal point of saying, hey, this is a declaration, it's a, we want funding from the feds for fibers or something else. Or just saying, hey, this is the importance of an issue in our community. That's how it looks like. It doesn't grant any specialized power separately. I mean, I can understand Commissioner Doherty's comments, like, maybe tied in with canceling the fair, but there's a lot of things we've had emergency declarations we haven't canceled or done other things too before. But I can see there'll be certain people in the community that'll look at it and say, oh, well, this means they're saying this and how they're still holding a fair. I mean, there's perception-wise, I can see it both ways. I can see some in the community thinking, oh gosh, then they should just bear down. There's a declaration, why are they not doing it? And others saying, well, just because it's an emergency doesn't mean we can't protect ourselves still with masks,
right,
as the governor said. What's different here is the governor has not before instituted the other restrictions that she did before, of like events that hasn't been done. I guess to be clear too, before there was that push of local control by the governor's office, and then she took that back, so she doesn't have a problem doing that, but hasn't implemented the other restrictions of closing, events. We had that before. We were talking about even, can we do even certain, arena events. None of those have been changed at this time. And for the fair, there's no guarantee it won't be done at the governor level in any short period of time, but that hasn't been changed yet. And for an example, Humansville County Fair is still occurring right now, separately with their emergency declaration in place still. But it's a tough balance. I can understand both sides of it.
Yeah.
It also helps with giving me a little bit more leeway in being able to procure goods and services. Asking for funds from the feds or asking from the state, it doesn't necessarily mean we have to close the fair down, and I personally don't want to close the fair down. That's not what this is for. This is just so we can get certain things going. Is it going to change the hospital bed issue that we're having? No. It's going to get worse, and there's nothing we can do about it. But it also lets the governor know that we're doing something, even if it's not necessarily closing the road, fair and radio down. We're at least saying that, yes, we recognize there is a problem.
What's the comment?
This is from Linda of Veterans asking if the health department would be able to provide information related to the number of, or percentage of people who have been vaccinated that are also getting ill again with Delta variant.
Yeah, and Linda, if you look at our packet from Wednesday, that is in there, as well as on the OHA website, pertinent to the state, which we tend to follow the state. What I had shared from NAS at the meeting was that for us to narrow it down to just our county, we'd have to add way more staffing. And unfortunately, that's a poor answer. But right now, we don't even have the staff nor the assistance from the state to do the contact tracing. But we have been following the state very closely, which shows a majority of the hospitalizations are unvaccinated. But you can find that on the OHA website and in our packet. But I do appreciate your comments, and I've heard that from numerous people since the agenda came out, Commissioner Doherty, and I'm sympathetic to those thoughts as well. For me, my thoughts on this are that the mask mandate is in place. I hope that people will listen to the governor and recognize, but for me, this raises the level of attention for the constituency that there is something more than just counting, because I keep hearing stop counting. This isn't about counting COVID numbers. This is about your family that may not have COVID, but that may not be able to get the service that they need when they go to the hospital door. And that's the red flag, the attention I want to grab. And perhaps just this meeting will grab that attention. But for me, I'd like to grab it even louder. Commissioner Schaefer, in our meeting yesterday with the governor's office, said two things. He was having this meeting in appreciation for the governor's efforts and her concerns over hospitalizations, but secondly, to raise the flag that this is more than just counting COVID. It was something else, so I also appreciated that. And I'm sympathetic to our emergency manager, who I know didn't want COVID to bring the emergency, but rather there's more things to it as well. So I'm willing to sign off on the declaration for those reasons. Commissioner Russell, do you have anything to add or questions?
No, I would move that we approve resolution OR 2021-12, declaring an emergency.
I would second that motion. Further discussion or changes? Justin, just to clarify, we're looking at the one to the specific date for that motion. Is that correct, Commissioner Russell?
Right here, that's on the shared screen. That's the most recent one that was sent out. That has been updated versus a prior one that was out earlier.
It's on the website too. Yeah.
This updated one is also on the website right now. I guess that was replaced and updated.
Further discussion.
I would have a question. It looks like Morrill County has a lot of people that have not been inoculated. And for whatever reasons, they're not interested in doing it. So we probably have numbers of people that are getting sick, and the number appears to be getting higher and higher. Going back to what Commissioner Doherty mentioned, is knowing what specific facts or something that you can bring to people that changes the mindset in their conduct, whether it's wearing masks or otherwise, is one of the things that I'm, to me, it makes sense for us to understand is how many people in Morrill County were inoculated? How many people have had shots? How many of those people have come down and become sick? Something to show that it makes a difference if you become inoculated, you take the shots. And I haven't been able to figure a way to come up with, give us some data that shows that the percentages are very low for people who are getting inoculated. That would be helpful, I think, to get people motivated as the numbers rise to go get shots. There was a lot of talk about incentives to get the shots, and I'd heard that the $100 to get a shot, you will get a shot, they give you $100. What are we doing to try to enhance people to go get inoculated? What data, and I think it's important, is points well taken. What data can you bring to people other than just saying it's bad, it's real bad? And if people don't have something a little bit more than that, then I don't know that they're going to be that much different in their behaviors.
And I don't disagree. I would defer again to the state website. And on the state website, people that are vaccinated are getting less sick, and the people in the hospital, majority are not vaccinated. That's on the OHA website. I will work on, what's that?
This link was sent from...
Oh, nice.
Joanna Lim.
Yeah, let me see, 1 second here.
Is this conversation gonna lead to the question, or should we go to the question and then we can
Yeah.
wrap that up?
That works.
Any other discussion?
Yeah, I'm happy to go ahead to the vote. I do think it maybe will move the dial. Hopefully, it will draw a little attention. As I looked at it, it's not just a majority; it's 3 or 4%. Certainly, are the vaccinated folks. It's pretty wide margin. But one thing I didn't hear today, I heard that it may draw some interest and so forth. One thing I didn't hear from anybody is that we're in an emergency now, and that's what we are declaring. So I'm happy to vote, and it's a no.
I would call the hospital beds an emergency, but I don't think shutting down businesses fixes that emergency. That's, I guess, the difference for me. All right. Go ahead, Commissioner Russell. Did you have something?
I may be able to answer the question that the sheriff asked on, nationally, you can look at the numbers, and it's 95% of hospitalizations are unvaccinated people. And last week I had a pretty long conversation with a longtime friend who's an end-of-life hospital chaplain for Providence down in Portland, and he said that the state's numbers mirror the national numbers, and that it's pretty close to 95% of the hospitalizations are unvaccinated people. So that answers the sheriff's question.
Thank you for looking that up. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Motion passes 2-1. Anything else for the good of the order? Hearing none, we will adjourn. Thank you for your time.
H2, they all. Okay, it's just a few.
I'll see.
And Callie Davis.
I'll see if Joanne Lamb can send that data she had pulled up too. That's a question.
It would be very. It would be nice to know if you had people that have been vaccinated. It's 85%.